Hey, what's going on, Dutch Nation? Today, wow, we've got a special episode. The one, the only, Mr. Travis Boersma joined us on the Red Couch. And yeah, we just wanted him on to kind of recap 2018, talk about some of the wins, some impactful moments in his personal life, kind of a Dutch Bros State of the Union address, if you will. Chocked full of nuggets, as per usual. Gives us a little insight as to where we're headed in 2019 as a company. Sit back, relax, steam up a cold brew, and enjoy the Travis Boersma podcast. Dude, Trav, welcome.
Yes, indeed.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
Hey, so one thing I always wanted to know, I don't know, maybe you've said it before, but back in 91 when you guys were in the old milk barn and you were concocting beverages and testing everything out, what was the first drink that you just loved that was your go-to for that first year?
Dude, it was hazelnut latte.
Hazelnut?
Hazelnut latte, man. Okay. I mean, I drank so many hazelnut lattes, it turned into butter popcorn like craziness, and I could never have another one again.
Yeah. Hazelnut's a wild flavor.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of hazelnut.
Well, if you love hazelnut, and you think of butter popcorn, you may never love it again.
You'll never. It does taste like that. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's more like the butter popcorn jelly bellies.
Oh, yeah. That's too weird. Those are gross.
And you got to be careful with jelly bellies because, yeah, I mean, now you don't even know what you're getting. You get skunk.
Yeah.
The kids go bananas on those things and, like, you know, it's like, hey, you eat yours and then I'll eat mine.
We'll see. Yeah, not cool.
They have, like, vomit and booger and weird
not
stuff.
Not cool.
Tell us a little bit about your drinking now. You just explained to me this new concoction that you're into.
Dude, it's to me like black velvet.
Oh.
It is so smooth.
Delicious.
It's so sensational. And it will take you to orbit.
I mean, that's real.
And that is the fact of the matter. It's taking a cold brew and steaming it up.
Steamed brew.
So you take it and you convert cold brew to hot brew. And it's got its own unique flavor profile, man, that I've never experienced before.
It's a hot cold brew.
Yeah. Bray and I are actually trying it right now. Yeah,
it's like a frozen hot cocoa.
It is, dude.
I don't really ever understand it, but it's a hot cold brew. It's a hot cold brew.
Yeah.
It's still very smooth. It doesn't lose its silkiness with the steaming.
It's like being so cold, colder than you've ever been, and you get a blanket.
Ooh, yeah.
But let me tell you something. When the cold brew has wore off, so's the blanket. It's gone. You just got to go get another one.
Yeah,
and then we're just not sleeping. Well, yeah. So we wanted to have you on to have a little 2018 recap. Some of the wins, some of the struggles, some of the takeaways. We're getting towards the end of the year now, about to venture into 2019. So just wanted to get your perspective on Dutch as a whole and Travis Boersma as a whole.
You know, this year has been a whirlwind. We've had a lot of crazy stuff as far as new product launches and the season of shine in the summer.
Yeah.
We're discussing whether we were going to bring it back or not. Not sure where that lies. I don't have a rock solid answer to give. I wish I did. We're going to determine that over the next month or two. And it could be that it's a limited time, just summer months where it's sunshine, man.
Yeah.
You know, and lemonade, bringing it back is a menu item that's here to stay. It's performing really well. Some of the give backs and the campaigns that happened over 2018, mind blown by Drink One for Dane Day, you know, doing over 1.3 mil. That's just crazy. You know, Brant and I had an opportunity to go visit Steve Gleason the other day.
So cool. I saw that picture. That's freaking awesome.
It's so cool.
You know, the guy's a warrior, man. I mean, he communicates with his eyes, and he's still got a smile. And more importantly than anything else, he's got his soul and he's got his heart. And he's a game changer. He's a leader. He's a guy that is making a massive impact in ALS research, predominantly with services that can be there for people that are going through it, families that are going through it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the quality of life and really maximizing that quality of life while you're here is his whole crusade. For those of you who don't know who he is an ex-NFL star, played for the New Orleans Saints, blocked a punt after Hurricane Katrina on Monday Night Football, and they made a statue out in front of the Superdome. that is him.
Yeah, they were playing the Falcons. It was an upset. They should have lost that game, and he freaking made the play that turned it around for sure.
Yeah, he sure did. And prior to being a Saint, he was a WSU Cougar. The Cougs are having a phenomenal year, and those guys are ecstatic about it. And I'm kind of pulling for them now because nobody else in the Pac-12 is going to be able to do anything. But we got the Cougs, man, with one loss. Steve did a documentary, and the documentary was just incredible. And it's a few years old now. Yeah. But they hiked Mount Kilimanjaro with Steve in a wheelchair. Wow. And it took a whole team. And just the story itself is so moving. It's full of depth, and his character really shows through. I recommend it for anybody, but bring a box of Kleenex, man. Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Dang.
Amber and I, we actually had started it, and we had to turn it off because we were both just like, I don't know, I'm not ready for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we were just talking about it. She actually was left that night to go to the benefit dinner. So the next day, we were just talking about how incredible it was because he got up and spoke.
Yeah.
And she said it was awesome. And I was like, we need to just watch it. I love that kind of stuff that just stirs you so much. And it's hard to go through, but the value that comes out on the other end is worth it. So
it's worthy, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, chalking up 2018, bringing a partner in and going to the next level.
Yeah.
As 2019 rolls around and, you know, the expansion of Dutch, providing opportunities. That's the whole thing that fuels me. This idea of compelling future inside of Dutch, outside of Dutch, designing your life, living your dream, trying to figure out where you want to go, what you want to do, who you want to be, those kind of things. We're on the cusp of greatness and being some sort of organization that is exemplary in this space. I feel like we're just getting started still in that area. It's hard for me to believe that 25 years have passed. I still don't think of myself as 40 something year old, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be 48 here in a few weeks.
Dang.
And that's just fucking weird, you know, because in my brain, I'm still like 20 something. My son's getting his license. My 14 year old is like the new Rico Suave at the middle school. and life is good, man. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. But the progression of life is happening all around us. And the progression of Dutch Bros is happening. The company is so strong. It's greater than any one individual. And as we go forward on this crazy crusade of the vision being a compelling future, providing opportunities for people, helping people, there's key initiatives that go with it. You know, so how do we continue to give back? How do we continue to be community oriented, people first? What is the idea of how this vision can come to light and be this example for anybody and everybody in this walk? It boils down to heart. It boils down to mind and making good decisions so that you feel good. I continue to learn the hard way going through my own life with that. I make what I think are good decisions, and they could be really great decisions in the moment, but they may not be the best decisions long term. Pints of beer are not in my best interest, and I really love them and they hate me. If I drink 3 pints of beer, I keep 2, and 1 is all that I get rid of. And so it's brutal in that regard, but that's this life. It's full of choices, and that leads to feelings, and it leads to shape of character. And I think the body of work that we do accumulates with those choices over time.
Sure.
You know, so the amount of stores is predicated on the amount of people that we have that are prepared.
Right.
You know, the growth rate of the company is critically important to me. Having that right balance is a big deal. So this first initiative of how many shops do we want to have? Well, it's somewhere between, like, say, 800 and 1,300 over the next 5 to 7 years. And that's a lofty goal. I mean, we're sitting at 325 today. But there's no reason why we can't grow at a rate that serves our people. And that's what I intend to do, is make sure that we are creating those opportunities and we're growing with the people first culture first, community first mindset. And everything that we do behind that has to be systemized. So that goal of growing to that number is only as good as the people that we have that are prepared to lead. So developing key leaders is critically important. On the back end, within the infrastructure, the foundation behind Dutch, we've got to have people that have been there and done that, you know, experts. I've kind of looked at it this way. We've climbed a lot of mountains over the years and had great victories, and it's been unbelievable. But the one that lies ahead right now is Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And if I was going to use it as a metaphor, I want to make sure that we have tour guides that have climbed this son of a bitch many times over that can really enjoy it. We can pull over. We can. I'm not going to drink beer. I'm going to drink coffee. It's probably going to be cold brew.
Steamed.
Yeah. I'm going to take that break and enjoy it. And I want to be fit. And I want to make sure that we have all the right gear and that we have people that can help us to do it in an extraordinary fashion. So bringing in key people that will help in the infrastructure with strategic planning and systems specifically, that's the key, and incorporating that into our culture. So that's the second initiative, is bringing key people in. And the third one is taking advantage of technology. I think we finally entered the realm 2018.
It's almost done.
I mean, I was around when people were storing shit, worried about Y2K, and computers were all going to end their life, and and all, you know, there was going to be no power, and you needed a generator. And I can't believe 18 years ago, that's where we were. It feels like yesterday to me. But the reality is technology has advanced so much that we want to have an experience for our customer base, if they so choose, to have everything happen through their phone.
Sure.
You know, I think your phone is your digital menu board today. I think the improvements that we can make in that sector to where you can get to a certain distance or a certain time frame or maybe both in advance of the store, where it could actually place an order, it can ring you up.
Yeah.
You're greeted with a friendly smile and a beautiful salutation, and your drink is right every single time.
And your Tesla took you there without you having to do anything.
That's where we're at, man. I mean, madness. You know, self-driving cars, stuff that happens for us when we want it, all of that is reasonable today. It's very reasonable. And so that third one is a big one, but bringing in a CMO is something that that I think is critically important. And I think somebody in that sector who's really tech heavy.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who is Elon Musk-esque.
Wouldn't that be something? Yeah.
That dude is is one bright mofo.
He absolutely.
But he might need somebody to help him in some of the shit he's doing. But you know, I think that guys like him are shaping our future.
Sure. Yeah.
And it's happening right before our eyes. So the fourth thing is using business intelligence data to make key decisions. And now that we have a point of sale system, we're able to gather a lot more information to make better decisions with. And I don't care where you are in your life, the more quality information that you have, the more quality questions that you ask, the better quality of life you can live. And that's what I want to make sure that we're incorporating in Dutch. And the last thing that I'm going to be focused heavily on is just a disciplined brand strategy, saying yes to the shit that really matters and saying no to the stuff that doesn't.
Yeah.
And how do we really get there, and what's important to us, and do we need to align with other companies, or do they want to align with us, and what's the benefit? It comes back to specific outcomes every single time. What's our specific outcome? If it's scattered, then it probably isn't worth doing.
Yeah.
If you just want to say, gosh, I want to be happy, that isn't specific enough. There's a recipe for happiness. And that recipe, man, is to each their own. And it usually lies from within. That new car might make you happy for a little while. You might get joy out of it. I don't know. But I don't know about fulfillment. You know, and whatever that specific outcome that you have, whether that's in your personal life or in Dutch with marketing, I think the more specific we are, the easier it is to concentrate our focus and drive toward it.
Yeah. Well, interesting you mentioned marketing, and we're talking about 2018, because you took on a new role when Daniel Jeremiah left the company to go pursue his dream of VP of marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
So how crazy has that been for you?
You know, it's been cool. It's been really cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it's been cool for everybody. Mm. You know, being very vulnerable, my effort has been to come in and just kind of reorganize and restructure. We're not finished, but we've cut a lot of fat out and we've gotten more focused.
Yeah.
And I think we have a more disciplined brand strategy today, but we still have room to improve. I'm going to use another metaphor. I can't help it. I sit in that realm. I want to make sure that we have a cool sandbox for people to play in, and then it's loaded with kick-ass toys.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm looking at. And that sandbox isn't a giant fucking beach.
Right.
To where you can go do whatever you want. I've been to a few beaches. One you've been to as well, that nude beach, man. A lot of shit going on. You know, I mean, this is not the nude beach. No. This is like, you know, Highland Elementary and play in the sandbox with your friends beach.
Yeah, yeah. There are parameters. You have boundaries.
Yes.
Boundaries can be good, no doubt.
Yeah, I think boundaries are a good thing.
So, speaking of beaches, for the most part, the last several years, December, your birthday, you like to take a trip out to Maui with the fam, kind of decompress. And anniversary.
Yeah.
So, how valuable has that time been for you over the years, and what are you looking forward to with that birthday trip this year?
Well, it's an opportunity to decompress and reset. And, you know, I can tell you that there's been years where it's been super impactful, and there's been years where I came home and I felt like I needed to take a vacation. You know, so it's mindset more than anything else. And so going into this trip, this winter for me, it's going to be centered around what it always is, but the effort that I put into it will have everything to do with the fruit that's born out of it. Mm. I'll be focused on physical, mental, spiritual health. And it seems as though I can get off kilter and get out of balance pretty easy. I don't know that there is a sustained balance. I think that maybe it's just, you've got to make time and be present in the moment when you're focused on whatever it is that you're trying to achieve, those specific outcomes. So maybe I need to dig a little deeper this year and say, okay, what is physical health and what is spiritual health and what is mental health for me?
Yeah.
Because at 48, it's a lot different than 40. And 40 is a hell of a lot different than 30, and 30 is a lot different than 20.
Yeah.
I think the older we get closer in age. Mm. But man, think back when you were 20, somebody that was 28 was a hell of a lot older.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you were like 16, you were a hell of a lot younger.
Sure.
But man, when you're 30 and there's a 25-year-old and a 40-year-old, you're closer.
Yeah.
And I think as you get older, it just gets closer. I got to see Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. That's, and Bruce is 69 years old. And the show was absolutely a mind blow with the depth that he had.
Yeah.
He incorporated faith, his story, his passion, all in one show that was straight from the heart.
Yeah, I might need to fact check this, but I believe that Bruce Springsteen holds the record for the longest show by a single artist.
Really?
I want to say they played for like 5.5 hours. And I think this was like well into his 50s too. The guy's a legend.
I don't doubt it, man. Yeah. He told a story of trying to make it. They were in New Jersey and that's where he grew up. And they had somebody that was coming in to check him out. Mm-hmm. And he said he played for 6 hours. Just sweat, blood, guts, tears, the whole nine yards. And the guy who was there, like checking him out as a producer, he gave him a pat on the back and he said, "I'll be in contact." He left town, said he slept with his girlfriend at the time and never heard a word out of him again. So that was the time he knew to get out of New Jersey and try and go somewhere else to make it.
Yeah.
And they were relentless with their quest.
Totally.
And that's the thing. I think we see the greatness by people who are great, but we don't really appreciate the pain.
Right.
And the wars that they've been through, the price that it took. you know, that they had to pay day in and day out, or sometimes going through devastating times that they were able to shape great things out of. That to me is very real for most everybody who's great at anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once you get past that surface and you can see all the meat and all the fibers that took it to, you know, build that body of whatever work they did, it's like, it's crazy. What are you most excited for about 2019?
I think 2019 for me is the year that we build the whole foundation and get it right by bringing in key talent and systemizing things so that it runs like a well-oiled machine to go forward. I'm ecstatic about the vision. I'm ecstatic about the compelling future piece of the company, most importantly with what people do outside of Dutch and where they can go. And it really truly is on them. You can't do it for anyone. There's no free lunch. They got to go earn it and they got to want it. If they have that deep desire and they can go outside of the company and make a difference in community or trade or whatever it is that they really have great passion for, maybe most importantly, like skills. You know, I mean, you got to have skills. You got to develop skills. If you don't go develop the skills that it takes to bring value, then I don't know where you'll be. But the one thing I do know is if you work at Dutch, the chance of you bringing great attitude to where you go is large.
Yeah.
And I think attitude times skill times effort equal performance. And so that's probably the area that I'm most excited about. And it's long term.
Yeah.
But it starts with the fundamentals, the basics today. So our people development department and what's possible in that realm, our business coaches, our leaders out in the field with franchisees, with regional operators, with all the shop managers, regional managers, assistant managers, there's so much opportunity. And I want to make sure that HQ is serving that vision to the nth degree. You know, we're saying yes to the deep desires. We're systemizing things. There's methods to the madness. And we have a strategic plan in place that absolutely makes sense and supports the culture of the company.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's really encouraging, we just had Teal on. She talked a lot about managing Lloyd was really challenging and it really stretched her out of her comfort zone. But by the time she was sitting in a regional operator space, she felt like so much support from HQ and just felt so well prepared that it wasn't quite as difficult as it was before. That made me feel good to know that these guys are just more set up for success than they've ever been.
There's a great takeaway that I've had in visiting these different organizations, whether it's Nike or Chick-fil-A or Jimmy John's or any of these other models out there, Starbucks, Amazon, Zappos. I've had really great opportunities to sit down and really try to digest, understand what they're going through and what they're good at. And I think like anything, I had this false premonition that because they're so large and because they're role models, that they operate like perfectly.
Yeah.
And it's so far from that, it's stupid. I mean, the fact of the matter is they're going through challenges and problems with inefficiencies, with ineffectiveness. And it's just part of the crusade. It's part of the game. If you like sports, the best teams on the planet are going through challenges throughout their entirety.
Right.
And there is no perfect. I mean, you can be on the top of the world as an athlete, as an artist, as a business, and wake up the next day and it's over, man. It's over.
Yeah.
And it happens that fast. The ones that stay on top are the ones that are continually trying to figure out how to get better, what they can learn, what they can grow with, how they can use those experiences, the mistakes, to go forward.
Yeah.
You know, and this grass is greener thing, man, it isn't real. It's not true.
Yeah, it's right. It's interesting. Perception is not always reality. And that is sort of the perception is that these giant companies are just doing everything right. And
they have it all together.
They got plenty of issues and struggles and hardships.
Change is happening all around us every single waking moment of our lives. You know, so how do you adapt? Asking that question continually, relentlessly, because if you don't, you get left behind.
Identifying where it is that you need to adapt mm-hmm. is a huge thing. I think a lot of people don't look at that.
Yeah.
And it could be just a minor tweak that they made. If they would have made that 2 months ago or a week ago or 5 years ago, they would have gotten a totally different result. I think that's one of the things that we have a tendency to do is look at ourselves at like, man, we have a lot of work to do, which is true.
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, we're actually really great too.
Yeah.
And having that kind of confidence, in which I think we actually demonstrate at Dutch, is we're really confident in who we are. You can have a pretty clear expectation when you go through a Dutch Bros stand of what experience you're going to get.
The confidence in who we are, it does play into the times where maybe you don't adapt. You know, there are certain things where it's like,
yeah,
that worked really well for them. I don't know that that works for us.
Yeah, I'm trying to wear my glasses more often. And when I do, I get this unbelievable feeling of clarity.
Right.
And I see things that I don't see.
Yeah.
More vibrantly. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these are game changer. And then of course I forget them.
Those yellow frame glasses, are those prescriptions?
I went to New York recently. I saw Bruce on Broadway and my lady ran in the New York City Marathon.
That's so wild.
Now, somehow that was one of my bucket lists and hers. And I don't think either one of us appreciate the other one
as much as
we should.
Yeah, right.
But I have zero interest in the marathon as far as participating. I'm a great spectator.
Sure.
She killed it, man. I don't know how she did it. 3 hours, 49 minutes.
That is bananas.
And I think that was her fourth one. And I think she's looking at another one. But
jeez.
It's effortless for her. I mean, yeah. I shouldn't say a marathon's effortless. It's it's grueling and it's agonizing probably no matter who you are. Even the people that won it. I think the winning time was like 2 hours and 5 minutes.
That's stupid.
You're flying.
But while in New York, I ran across a Varnay store.
Hey, throwback.
And so not many people know the brand Varnay. But in the 80s, it was super rad.
The tea is silent.
And we walked in. It was a Varnay store. Yeah. And the lady working there was as excited about it as I was as a customer.
Mm.
She told me that they've never gone away.
Yeah.
They still have their little factory outside of Paris and France.
Right on.
And there's guys that are still working there that were there in the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. So I ended up buying like 3 pair of Varnay shades, and they're not cheap.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I had to get the yellow lens. Because
I figured
I can make my world bright no matter where I'm at.
Boom. Dude, they look great. I'm sorry y'all can't see, but just take our word for it.
They're kind of fun to wear because you can wear them at night.
Yeah.
Or driving, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know that it helps me at all, but it certainly alters my reality. You know, if I'm not going to be able to drink beer, then I'm going to wear my fucking yellow shades.
Beer goggles, but not the kind that get you in trouble.
Yeah. These are more psychedelic, you know.
Yeah, or bitchin'.
Yeah.
You and my dad both have always had the
crazy
dopest shades.
The black flies in the day.
Black flies were sick. Those were bomb.
I miss those. That's what I'd like. So outside of, you know, Varnay shades and Bruce, what's been filling your cup lately?
Well, you know, the summer is probably my favorite time of year here in Grants Pass. And seems like our smoke situation's been brutal, but prior to the smoke, it was just getting out on the water, man, in the boat and the kids all surfing. And that time, man, is some of the best family time. You know, I don't even know how to describe it, but that's ultimately fulfilling for me. I'm coaching soccer. I had zero idea that I'd be coaching soccer like I am. But, you know, it's another great thing that I get to engage with my kids on. And I didn't realize how much I could learn in the game. There's a lot to it, way more than meets the eye. So that's been something that's been super rad and cool for me to participate in.
Right on. Well, dude, Trav, thanks so much. I know you're a busy guy, so giving us some time has been awesome.
I got to go to meetings, man.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I go to meetings.
That damn VP of marketing, you know, it never ends. But we kind of like to wrap this thing up the same way of just, if there's one little solid piece of advice you could give to the Dutch Nation right now, going forward into 2019, what's one good takeaway?
It's never too late to start the day over, man. Ever. And that applies to anybody and everybody who's alive on this planet. You know, I don't care what hardships have happened in your past. There's no excuse. There's no rationale. There's no justification. There's only you, your mind, and your faith.
Boom. Awesome. Hey, thanks, Trav.
Yeah, man.
Love you, Dutch Nation.
Always great to be here.